And in Ode to Heaven, Rooted to Earth, Walter Brueggemann writes, "So we come in our bewilderment and wonderment, deeply trusting, almost afraid to trust too much, passionately insisting, too timid to insist much, fervently hoping, exhausted for hoping too much. Look upon us in our deep need, you defeater of death, whose power could not hold you. Come in your Easter. Come in your sweeping victory. Come in your glorious new life. Here are thankful, grateful, unashamed. Alleluia." Jesus told Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life." God promises, love never ends. Love will last forever, and nothing can separate us from God's love, not even death. Numerous times, Jesus explained to Mary the details of Holy Week, that after 3 days, he would rise to glorious eternal life. Mary truly believed Jesus. Yet, the fear, hate, pain, darkness and death of this world at times overwhelms even the strongest, most vibrant faith. David Davis, in A Gospel You Can Taste, wrote, "More than Jesus died on Friday afternoon, so did his followers hope that in him something new and beautiful and hopeful actually had come on earth. Hearing him teach, watching Jesus with the sick, and the children, watching him gently restore calmness to a man in the throes of psychosis, watching him lovingly understand and comfort a desperate father. You could almost imagine a world like that, a world where goodness and kindness and gentleness prevail, not meanness, cruelty, and violence. You could almost imagine a world where God wipes the tears from all eyes, a world where people of different races, ethnicities, and religions sit down together at a banquet table. You could almost imagine a world where children are indeed fed and all the sick cared for, a world where there are no concealed firearms and innocent children are not gunned down in the streets and sidewalks, where the elderly are secure, and where precious resources are joyfully invested in life, not in weapons systems." Jesus, in all of Mary's hopes and dreams, died on Friday. 3 days later, Mary was still wrought with grief. Mary stumbled, wiping away the tears, and felt her way up that rugged path in darkness to the tomb. The Gospel of John explains, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to him, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Peter and John saw the empty tomb. However, they still not understand. So they went home, Mary saw the empty tomb. Mary saw two angels. Mary even saw Jesus, but Mary did not recognize Jesus, so she continued to weep. Most of us are very familiar with what Peter, John, and Mary were going through, feeling and thinking. We too have heard God's promise of eternal love and resurrection. Most of us have heard Jesus' teachings and have seen glimpses of the kingdom of God. We have hopes and dreams. We have loved and served to make the world more like heaven. Yet, there are times when it all falls apart, when death seems so very final. We join Mary and the disciples alone, afraid, alarmed, trembling, anxious, empty, grieving, weeping. We join Jesus, who for a moment, as he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? Felt alone, unloved, that death was final. Let us pray. Startle us, O God, with your truth. Startle us as you startled fearful, grieving, despondent men and women early in the morning on the first day of the week long ago with news so good that they couldn't completely comprehend it, could only sing it and shout it and live it the rest of their lives. So come to us this day with life and hope, courage and love in our risen Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Gospel of John continues. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, do not hold on to me because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Mary, you and I are never alone, for we are all loved by God. God knows our name. God is speaking our name. We in time will recognize Jesus. We will glimpse resurrection all around us. There's faint precursors in the first flower after winter, in health after an illness, a paycheck after unemployment, a tender embrace reviving a shattered relationship, laughter that chases away depression, a wave of resurrection peace after the grief of death. Every hope and dream is resurrected. Every aspect of Jesus' ministry is indeed coming. With the darkness fleeing behind us, we will see Jesus and the rising sun before us. Like Mary, we will likely want to embrace Jesus. Jesus will refuse, for Jesus has so much, much, much more resurrection glory for us to experience. Jesus' Greek word that we often translate, do not hold on to me, means do not try to confine, control, limit God, to put God into a box. Resurrection is not an idea or a positive thinking exercise. The resurrection is real, physical life after death. The resurrection is God's power at work, redeeming, restoring, renewing everyone and all of the cosmos. Jesus' resurrection means everything that Jesus taught and lived is true and is coming, and that is way too wonderful for us to even start to grasp, to understand, or to hold on to in any way. We will enjoy every aspect of the good news in the kingdom of God. We will enjoy eternal resurrection life. Pastor John Buchanan preached, what we must not do on this day is the very thing we American Presbyterians want most to do, namely come up with a rational explanation. After all, things like this just don't happen. So Maybe it was Jesus' teachings that live on. Maybe his spirit lives among us like Shakespeare or Beethoven's. Maybe he lives in the flowers of spring. There is no better way to deflect or diffuse Easter than that. The resurrection will not submit to rational analysis. Rather, it is the event that most suggests that there is truth that transcends all our logic. There is a God who exists beyond our ability to understand. In the darkness before dawn, Mary was weeping, devastated, as we are sometimes, by the senseless cruelty of the world, the randomness of evil and death. Mary heard Jesus say her name, and she knew in ways she did not fully understand, at a place deep in her soul, that Jesus was the victor, not death, that the last word about Jesus was not death, but life and love, that the meaning that she and all of us long for is in Jesus, our risen Lord, that God has created you for life and love and joy, that whatever is happening in your life today, whatever you are dealing with, worried about, struggling with, afraid of, there is a resurrection power alive and at work in the world and in your life. God is on your side. God is resurrecting you. Earthly death and pain in all its forms are real, but all of it is defeated. All of it is temporary. All of it is disappearing, for it is being replaced with the joyful glory of resurrection. Jesus Christ is risen. Frederick Buechner, in The End of Life, wrote, "The proclamation of Easter Day is that all is well. And as a Christian, I say this not with the easy optimism of one who has never known a time when all was not well, but as one who has faced the cross in all its obscenity, as well as all its glory, who has known one way or another what it is like to live separated from God. In the end, God's will, not ours, is done. Love is the victor. Death is not the end. The end is life, Jesus' life, and life in Jesus and through Jesus. Existence has greater depths of beauty, mystery, and benediction than the wildest visionary ever dared to dream. Christ our Lord has risen." Our scripture from the Gospel of John ends today with, "Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said, 'I am coming to you so that you may have my joy made complete in yourself.'" You too have seen glimpses of Jesus in every joy you have experienced. God is joy and created a cosmos and humanity to mirror God's joy. Easter is God restoring all to eternal, joyful life. This Lent, we have been celebrating and sharing joys. The joys we experience are just faint precursors, a foretaste, a snippet of the full joy of resurrection that is coming to us. You have seen glimpses of Jesus in your joys. You know, in those moments when everything feels wonderful, in those times that everything is perfect and you don't want that moment to end, you have seen Jesus in joyful smiles and sights, books, movies, smells, sounds, tastes, and experiences. The prophet Isaiah saw the Lord, rejoiced, and wrote, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And God will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. God will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of God's people God will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Lo, this is our God. We have waited for God so that God might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in God's salvation.'" You will see God in the joy of delicious meals. Maybe some of you will see God this afternoon in a delicious meal, in God's saving work, in reunion, in the laughter of family and friends. God's resurrection joy is way too wonderful to grasp in your mind, so you're invited to taste and to see the joyful goodness of God. The Apostle Paul saw the resurrected Lord and wrote, "In the resurrection scheme of things, this has to happen. Everything perishable taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable. This mortal replaced by the immortal. Then the saying will come true. Death swallowed by triumphant life. Who got the last word? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master Jesus Christ. Thank God. Death has been conquered. Every tear, every hurt, every form of brokenness is being healed by the power of resurrection. Death is a journey into glorious eternal life. Your joys and love are mere faint precursors of the magnificent joy and love of full resurrection. Celebrate. Cherish your joy and love, for each one will be enhanced, magnified, and enjoyed by you and all of heaven for eternity. The resurrected Jesus is resurrecting you and reassuring you that you will always be loved, that nothing will ever separate you from God. The living Jesus is setting you free to live abundantly, to love extravagantly, and to celebrate abundantly. The risen Jesus is calling your name. Prophet Isaiah heard the Lord, rejoiced, and wrote, "So you will go out in joy. You will be led into a whole and complete life. The mountains and hills will lead the parade, bursting with song. All the trees of the forest will join the procession, exuberant with applause." Let us pray. Startle us, risen Jesus. Help us see you in the joy of glorious resurrection. Amen. Let us affirm our faith.